Chapter 137. The winter sun had just risen over Prague, its muted rays glinting off the skyline of snow-covered spires. Langdon was feeling anxious about the final piece of unfinished business he needed to resolve before he and Catherine flew out this afternoon. He wondered how she would react when he explained the delicate situation. "I almost told her earlier," he thought, but despite a sincere desire to share what had happened, Langdon had never quite found the right moment. "Enjoy your breakfast," he reassured himself. "It will all work out." 90 minutes ago, after some weighty final discussions with the ambassador and an uncertain farewell with Sasha, Langdon and Catherine had exited the embassy and, at Nagel's personal recommendation, walked a mere 20 paces across the cobblestone plaza to the Alchemist Hotel for their famed Prosecco breakfast. The hotel made its home in an impeccably restored 16th-century Baroque mansion, whose large inner courtyard, every winter, was converted into an ice-skating rink that glistened beneath a canopy of twinkling lights. The dining room decor was fanciful, with crimson upholstered chairs, glittering Murano chandeliers, and Corinthian twist gold pillars that looked like a storybook movie set. At a quiet window table overlooking the rink, Langdon and Catherine had finished a sumptuous breakfast that culminated in fig dumplings topped with edible gold flakes. Fully sated and having reflected at length on the morning's events, they were now quietly sipping chicory melta and gazing out at the ice rink where a young woman had just arrived and was lacing up her skates. "The skating nun?" Langdon offered, referencing their waiter's ghost story about a nun who had died on this spot centuries ago and who materialized occasionally to skate peaceful patterns on the ice. "I think not," Catherine replied, as the young woman shed her coat to reveal a skimpy skating costume bejeweled in white sequins and silver beadwork. As the young woman stepped onto the ice, she seemed surprisingly off balance for someone with such an elaborate outfit. "Odd," Langdon thought, watching her stumble awkwardly to the middle of the rink, where she stopped, fluffed up her hair, raised a phone, and began taking selfies. "Mystery solved," Langdon said. "Instagram skater." "Our new reality," Catherine said with a laugh. "Doesn't it concern you?" he said, turning to her. "Young people broadcasting themselves nonstop to the world? I see it every day on campus. Even the world's best and brightest seem far more interested in the online world than the real one." "That could be true," she said, taking a sip of her tea. "But first of all, it's not just young people doing it. And second, I think you have to consider that the online world is a real world. A real world where love is expressed with emoticons and measured in likes. Robert, when you see someone glued to a phone, you see a person ignoring this world, rather than a person engrossed in another world. A world that, like this one, is made up of communities, friends, beauty, horror, love, conflict, right and wrong. It's all there. The online world is not so different from our world, except for one stark difference." Catherine smiled. "It's non-local." The comment caught him off guard. "The online world," Catherine said, "is untethered from your location. You inhabit it as a bodiless mind, free from all physical restraints. You move effortlessly anywhere. See what you want, learn what you want, interact with other bodiless minds." Langdon had never considered the internet in that light, and it both startled and intrigued him. "Online, I am a bodiless consciousness." "When we lose ourselves in the virtual world," Catherine said, "we are giving ourselves a kind of non-local experience that, in many ways, parallels an out-of-body experience. We are detached, weightless, and yet connected to all things. Our filters are dropped. We can interact with the entire world through one screen and experience almost anything." Langdon realized Catherine was exactly right. She drained the last of her Melta and dabbed the linen napkin to her lips. "Anyhow, I wrote about all of this in my book. It's an unusual idea, but I've come to believe that our current technological explosion is actually part of a spiritual evolution, a kind of training ground for the existence that, in the end, is our ultimate destiny, a consciousness untethered from the physical world and yet connected to all things." Langdon sat back, thoroughly impressed by the trailblazing genius of Catherine's ideas. "It all funnels into one larger concept," Catherine said fervently. "Death is not the end. There's more work to do, but science continues to discover evidence that there is indeed something beyond all this. That message is one we should be shouting from the mountaintops, Robert. It's the secret of all secrets. Just imagine the impact it will have on the future of the human race." "And that is why you still need to publish your book." The comment elicited a frown from Catherine, snapping her back to reality, and Langdon wished he'd kept his thoughts to himself. Even so, he'd been excited to learn that the CIA director had agreed there would be no interference with any future publication of Catherine's book, provided she remove a handful of sensitive paragraphs and, of course, omit her patent application. Catherine's response to the good news had been subdued, which was not surprising, considering she was still livid with the agency, not to mention daunted by the prospect of starting the writing process all over again. Langdon shifted, feeling restless that he'd upset her. "So," he ventured quietly, "still want to see Prague Castle before we fly out?" Catherine glanced up, clearly eager to have something else to think about. "Absolutely. I barely saw anything the night of my lecture, and you said St. Vitus is not to be missed." "Perfect," he said, reaching for his coat. "From here, it's just a short walk up the hill." His mind turned again to the task that lay ahead of him. He was still concerned about how Catherine would take the news. Catherine glanced around for a waiter. "I'd pay the check, Robert, except I lost my bag." "Not to worry," he replied with a smile. "I was informed our breakfast is compliments of the U.S. Embassy." As they exited the hotel into the morning light, Catherine and Langdon looked toward the ambassador's office window to wave their thanks, but the window was dark. With luck, everything had gone smoothly with Sasha's departure, and Heidi Nagel was headed for bed. The ambassador had promised a package would be delivered to their hotel this morning, containing travel cash, 2 first-class plane tickets, and a pair of diplomatic letters to ensure they both made it home with no complications. "It's the least the embassy can do," Nagel had told them, "considering the past 24 hours. Catherine followed Langdon into the quaint cobblestone alley called Tržište, which ascended toward Prague Castle. As they began to walk, Langdon put his arm around her waist and kissed her on the cheek, pulling her close. They had gone only a dozen paces or so up the hill when suddenly Langdon paused, as if reconsidering the climb. "Too steep for you in this bulky coat?" she ribbed, poking his prized crimson Patagonia puffer coat, which Catherine had repeatedly suggested he replace with something from this millennium. "No." He pulled back the sleeve of his coat, checked his Mickey Mouse watch, and frowned. "But it just occurred to me we only have a few hours before we go to the airport, and there's some paperwork I need to take care of before I can leave the country. How about I meet you up there?" "Paperwork?" she asked. "Sorry," he said. "I haven't really wanted to tell you everything that happened yesterday. It was chaotic, and there's just one loose end that I need to tie up." Catherine was concerned about what it might be, especially when she considered that yesterday morning Robert had evacuated a luxury hotel and eluded the Czech police.
"Is everything okay, Robert? Do we need to involve the ambassador?"
"It's all going to be fine," he reassured. "I promise."
"Shall I come with you?"
"Thanks, but I don't want you to miss this walk." He motioned up the walkway. "It's spectacular."
I'll jump into a cab, take care of this, and with luck we'll arrive at the castle at about the same time.
As you like, she said, still unsettled. Where do we meet?
Langdon thought a moment. I'll see you at the door with the 7 locks.
Catherine stared at him. There's a door with 7 locks?
He nodded. One of the most mysterious doors in all of Europe. Just ask when you get there.
Robert, she protested, why don't we meet at the information booth, like normal people?
Because, he kissed her on the cheek, normal is profoundly overrated.